We are Screams and Queens, a podcast for all lovers of horror movies, novels, and true stories. Your hosts are Bree, the book nerd, Megan, the horror expert, and Jenna, our token scaredy cat. Each week, we'll watch a horror movie and then talk about what scared us the most. Or should we say, what scared Jenna the most? We are Screams and Queens. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Screams and Queens. I am your co-host, Bree.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Megan.
And this week, we watched the movie Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which are loosely adapted from Alvin Schwartz's short stories, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark from 1981, More Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark from 1984, and then Scary Stories 3, More Tales to Chill Your Bones from 1991.
And just like every week, fuck this movie. Fuck everything about it.
So before we get into anything,
fuckery that was this movie.
Jenna once again was under the blanket. Before we get into everything, I just want to give a plug really quickly to our Patreon. If you love us and you love the show, we do have a Patreon, which means you become a patron. You get some cool stuff like discount on merchandise, bonus episodes, early releases to episodes, cool stuff like that. So check it out. Just Patreon patreon.com/screamsandqueens. So how the podcast is going to work, we'll start off with a brief movie summary. Then we'll move into some fun facts, go into the Freitag Pyramid, talking about the actual structure of the movie itself, and then talk about what scared us, what didn't scare us, particularly what scared our scaredy cat Jenna. And then lastly, we'll play a fun little game called What Would Your Strategy Be? So we'll start off with a brief movie summary. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark is a story about a group of young misfits that find a scary book in a scary mansion previously owned by the Bellows and are in for a rude awakening when the stories become terrifyingly real. And then some fun facts. So it was released in 2019. It was directed by, I am going to butcher this name, he is Norwegian, Andre Overdale. That's probably not how you pronounce it, because
the O has like a little slash in it.
Yeah, the O has a slash. So like, I'm sorry if you're Norwegian and I just butchered that name. I don't know how to pronounce it.
You got
it.
Any listeners over there?
Yeah, in Norway. So it was directed by Andre, and then also Guillermo del Toro co-produced it. Yeah.
He's my favorite.
He's awesome. So like I said, they're based off the short children's stories by Alvin Schwartz.
Children's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
These books that you have right here, children's
Girl,
stories.
These were from the book fair in elementary school.
Yeah, I used to read these when I was a kid.
Nah, I never went to that. You're fucking kidding me.
No,
that's
yeah.
probably why you aren't into this stuff, because apparently you weren't exposed at a young enough age. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, these are children's stories.
Mm-hmm. What?
The yeah. illustrations fucked me up, though.
Yeah, we'll
can
show.
Can I see one of them?
Yeah, you can look through this book right now.
Yeah, I'd like to have side-by-sides with the monsters and the illustrations with how they portray them in the film.
Nope.
Yeah.
No. There is no way in fucking hell that you were a child reading this.
Yeah.
If you could see this illustration right now. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Oh, dude, there's some that are really creepy.
Holy shit. How are you guys okay?
We're not.
We're not. Yeah, that's a...
Look at that. That look. You know what that looks like. A werewolf.
Yeah, it does look like a werewolf. Or like a dire wolf.
What?
Yeah. Illustrations are creepy. Like,
Gosh. I seriously can't... Ew! The big toe. There's so much to talk about.
The big toe. Yeah. So while Jenna flips through these terrifying illustrations that she never knew about. So speaking of that, the illustrations were by Stephen Gammell. And all the short stories are actually based off folklore. Whether... It's things people may have seen or may have experienced or at least thought they did. And after reading the stories and seeing the movie, that would be terrifying to experience any of those things. Parents didn't like the book. They thought...
Yeah, no shit. They didn't like the book. Are you kidding me?
Well, they didn't think, obviously, it was, like, this archetypal, like, children's book where you have, like, the moral of the story and there's a lesson learned. Where if you, like, look at, like, Aesop Fables, like, where the... Do you guys know what that is?
No.
Okay.
It's just, like, had blank faces.
Yeah, you're like, the tortoise and the hare.
Oh, okay.
I forget what else. The only one. Aesop Fables, I thought of that, like, as an archetypal kind of, like, children's story because there's, like, a moral of the story and children can learn from it versus, like, these do not have happy endings.
Where people get skinned.
Yeah, people get skinned and there's no happy endings. And so it's, like, what is my child learning from this and why are they reading it? So, after thinking about Aesop's Fables, I did a little deep diving. So, Aesop was a Greek slave. I believe it was, he was a Greek slave and storyteller from the 6th century. Wrote/told over 600 fables. He's best known for the tortoise and the hare. So, yeah.
Originated in ancient Greece.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's where Aesop's fables come from. But Schwartz, like, Alvin Schwartz, he didn't care. Apparently, didn't like the stories. He was like, he was just happy to have any kind of media attention, either even if it was negative. So he's like, eh, fuck it, I guess. and then the illustrations themselves by Stephen Gammell, they inspired the monsters in the movie, which we could see. And then what I thought was interesting is that when Guillermo del Toro, he wanted to be a part of this movie, one of the reasons is because he wanted to introduce horror to a younger audience.
That's my man right there.
Yeah, I know. And obviously this movie is more of like a children's movie. Like, it's kind of campy, but...
I wouldn't agree.
Not children's. Like, it's more like a younger, like, young adult.
It's PG-13.
Yeah, like a younger audience versus like an R-rated scary movie. You know what I mean? So, actually, Guillermo del Toro, he was quoted, and I'll post the source of where I found this on the site, but... He said why horror is important. The real tragedy of horror is not to have your parents talk to you about it. When you're a kid, you're curious about two things, sex and death.
I knew that was coming.
Mm-hmm. The rest you can figure out in a manual. A lot of parents shy away from those things, but we live in the real world. When we live in a great world, we can avoid these things, but we need to know the darkness to know the light. I really wish my father and mother watched horror with me. The world is constantly telling you about everything great as a kid, and yogurt and shampoo commercials and movies where nobody looks like you. Horror movies tell you there is a dark side. Don't worry. I think that's really important.
Don't worry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But isn't that pretty cool that he has that mindset where you're like, you want to introduce horror because you want to introduce these kids to, like, this world that they're actually going to go into. Like, maybe there's not going to be, you know, scary jangly man monsters that their limbs fall off. But it's interesting to know that, like, in a world where we have, you know, shootings and we have, like, you know, race wars, and it's interesting to know that horror to him is kind of introducing children to that scary world.
It gives us better coping skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess so.
But I read these books as a kid, and Megan obviously did too. Jenna had no idea about them as a kid.
I read Piggy Pie, and that was about it.
So how would you compare these to R.L. Stine's Goosebumps?
Oh, that's a good question.
Did you read that too?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Goosebumps were my favorite.
I don't know why my mom let me read those, because she didn't even like me watching Ed, Edd n Eddy as a kid. She thought that was too weird.
No, Ed, Edd n Eddy slaps. I love that.
It was great, but mom thought it was weird, so I don't know how I snuck all these creepy books into the house.
Mm-hmm. Goosebumps is it's obviously different because it's like a novel, basically, whereas versus these are it's like an anthology. Yeah, so I think... Honestly, Goosebumps...
More of a caricature of a story versus, like...
Where these are, like... And there's always a happy ending to Goosebumps, usually. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, they defeated the monster. Whereas these stories, like, there's not a happy ending.
You get skinned.
Yeah, you get skinned, and it's, like, not real-world problems, but, like, you get, like, very fucked up shit in these children's stories where Goosebumps is, like, this doll comes to life, which is scary. I mean, I don't like dolls, but, like, this shit is, like... This is, like, demons and ghosts and, yeah, scarecrows skinning people. Like, I think it's just, it's a different kind of horror. Yeah. So I think Goosebumps, yeah, is a little bit more like a caricature. Yeah, yeah. And, like, those are more campfire stories. This is more like, I can't sleep at night. Like, because I read these books. Okay, so we'll move into the actual structure of the film itself, using the Freytag Pyramid, the beginning, catalyst, rise, crisis, climax, and realization. So it starts off with this bully Tommy, who's like the ugliest dude ever. But so
Jenna disagrees.
Tommy? You thought Tommy was cute?
Well, okay, listen.
She must like the bad boys.
But he's just ugly.
I mean,
sorry, whoever plays him.
It's just like, you pass someone on the street in a sea of people. No, that's not where I'm going with this. When you have a smaller amount of people to look from, the person may not be that attractive, but first time you see them, oh, okay, not bad. So, like, he was the best out of the pick of the litter.
He was the best out of all the people in the movie? I thought Ramon was cute.
I thought Ramon was cute.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Ramon's cute.
No, for sure. Okay, no, I took it back. He sucked. He wasn't good.
Oh.
He's like sweaty.
That sounded like you changed real quick. You're like, actually, never mind. I take back everything I said.
No.
Jenna's a liar.
No. No, you know what? Number one, too young. Number two, Tommy sucks, okay?
Yeah.
He was a dick.
Yeah, he was just a big old bully, and he's like, get out of your car. And this, like, your stereotypical, like, bully, like...
With the Letterman jacket.
Yeah, Letterman jacket, like, with the baseball bat, stealing Halloween candy, which happens, actually was, like, underwear? What did they have in the bag? They had, like, underwear.
Smelly old man underwear.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, so the beginning...
Genius.
Yeah, you start off with Tommy, the bully. He's coming out of the store, and he's like, let's go hunt some kitties. Or, like, kids. Whatever,
he's
I don't know.
He's not a pedophile.
Yeah.
Asshole.
Yeah, like, he wants to just, like, beat up some kids or get some candy. They chase after the group of misfits. You have Stella, Chuck, Augie, and then Ramon. They go into the scary mansion. They find this scary book, and spooky stuff happens. Kids die off.
So nonchalantly, yeah. Children die. That seems to be our theme.
Or I don't know if they die. Like we talked about during the movie, it's like, where do they go? Like, do they die, or are they just in this kind of like purgatory type place? Like, because I'm apparently there's a second one coming out, so maybe they're going to address that in the second movie about where the kids are, like if they're somewhere, if they're able to be saved. But anyway, so the end, the protagonist Stella inadvertently goes back in time as Sarah Bellows and experiences the torture, finds out the truth that Sarah Bellows was actually being tortured by her family, and then she's lastly confronted with Sarah and is forced to write in her blood the truth of Sarah and how she was tortured, she didn't poison these kids, and ultimately ends the curse. Climax was definitely when she goes back into the house and it transforms into
the old thing.
Yeah.
But when Chuck was in the house at the beginning, he saw that old lady. Who was the old lady? I wasn't looking. I was scared.
It was probably her mom. In the beginning when Chuck was in the closet.
With the Doberman?
Oh, yeah.
Well, thanks, fucking movie.
Maybe grandma.
Movie ruined Dobermans for me now, too.
Oh, I thought it was a really cute dog. They have great cute dogs in this movie.
But it's scary.
Was the cop still harmed? I went pee during that scene.
I don't know. We didn't see it. We heard him wimple.
By the way,
dog Megan is growling over there at the window, and it's freaking me out.
She's like, Sarah Bellows.
Stop.
Oh, why the curse is ended. But, yeah, so the climax is when Stella is, like, turned into Sarah Bellows temporarily and then is confronted with Sarah Bellows, and it does have, like, we've talked about this before, but like the haunted house syndrome, like it has that very like dark, and you're actually in this haunted house, so it has that kind of dark feel and mood to it. But it's a Halloween movie, so that's the whole, and it's literally called like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, so it's
yeah, it was scary.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be kind of that campy, corny, like, yeah, that like very obvious spooky, let's make it dark and haunted house. The curse ends, but then we find out that Augie and Chuck are still missing, so they have to go find them, I guess. And I guess it ends with them going, like, picking up Ruthie, who was in the mental hospital from having spiders all over her, and it ends with them driving off with the book, and she's like, we're going to find them. So I'm assuming that's what the second movie is going to be about.
Are we going to go see that?
Heck yeah. I don't know. Do you know when it comes out?
I just looked it up. I don't know when it was announced, but COVID kind of threw up like a...
Yeah.
So you guys went and saw this together last year.
Yeah.
When it first came out.
When did it come out?
2019.
Well, what was your... What month?
Probably October.
Aww.
I don't know. I'm just guessing
right
that.
That's right when I moved here.
Oh, yeah.
It was right before I met you.
Yeah, we're like, oh, that Jenna girl, don't invite her.
Okay, so what were your first reactions when you were in the theater? First of all, I hate movie theaters.
It came out in August.
So was it?
No, you're fine. I don't particularly like movie theaters, and it's not because I don't like the experience. It's because I'm afraid somebody's going to kill me. And that's so, I hate to, I don't want to get into this whole thing.
Shooter guy?
Yeah, I'm so terrified of movie theaters.
I'm talking about, ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
No,
the
haunted
movie theater.
Were scared of, or getting freaking chloroformed in the bathroom.
That and subways and not the restaurant.
$5 foot long. She's afraid.
No, every time I pass the subway on the way to work, I shield my eyes from it. I'm don't look at it. Because there's a subway right next to the studio, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the sub shop. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
I'm kidding about that. No, I mean train
subway. Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
You guys are picking up what I'm saying.
Yeah, you end up with really odd people on the subway at weird times.
Yeah, and it just freaks me out. But, and movie theaters are dirty, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
A little grimy at times.
Well, the thing is, the new one just opened, movies, that used to be Movies 10.
Oh,
it was
the
Bistro. And then COVID hit, and now I didn't get to see the Bistro.
Well, they had, this movie pass where, you paid for a subscription, you got free tickets every month, and then discount on food and discount on tickets. And Zach and I actually had gone, we saw some, I was like, I don't know, what's that Fantasy Island movie that came out?
Oh, that was
awful.
We
went and saw that. Yeah, but it was... free ticket for him, I paid for a discount ticket, and then we had alcohol, so it made it so much better.
Mm-hmm.
We had food and wine.
I couldn't even finish that movie because it was so awful.
One scene was particularly creepy, but there was the mirrored person that was the blonde girl.
Didn't even get to that part. I must have turned, maybe I should have watched the rest of it.
I finished it because I paid for it.
That's
not something I would choose to watch. It wasn't that good.
Yeah, it was just, I couldn't pay attention to it. Anyway, so.
But were you scared when you watched it?
In the movie theater? I feel like the monsters for sure are creepy, especially in that dark environment where, it's not you're not at home on your couch, and you don't have something to crawl up with. I think, the monsters are definitely creepy. So, I don't remember specifically, but I'm sure I probably was.
Yeah.
For me, I was creeped out for certain scenes. Some of the CGI was a bit jarring, and that was my biggest complaint leaving the theater, was that, I couldn't have suspended disbelief because it didn't seem real enough. Whereas the show that we just watched the other day, that felt really fucking real.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told Jenna, I was I would not even put Jenna through that.
The rest of the season wasn't that scary.
Yeah, I need to watch it. I need to go home and watch it.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah, oh my gosh, seriously. Yeah, if you haven't watched Channel Zero, and if you like scary stuff, watch Channel Zero, dear God.
It's an anthology series that was based on sci-fi, now you can watch it on Shudder, and it's all based on creepypastas.
Mm-hmm. So and I tell you what.
Fuck you and your creepypasta! I'm so sick of hearing about
this. Several of the stories originated on the No Sleep on Reddit. There was the Search and Rescue series, there was the No End House. But each season of Channel Zero is a different creepypasta, and they're really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really, really creepy for originating on sci-fi. You wouldn't assume that.
Yeah, they're yeah. It was very creepy because you think of, whenever I think of sci-fi, I think of, this Tremors or, Lake Placid, but Channel Zero.
Or, all the, weird alien ones where everyone has, prosthetics on their forehead.
Yeah, they're just, not very good. To kind of compare the books to the movie, the books are meant to be interactive. For example, I'm just going to go to, the very first book, the very first story, because we'll also talk about that later, but it's The Big Toe.
So, yeah. No, that sucks because it's soup season. It's stew season, and you guys ruin everything for me.
But I think you're going to notice a toe in your stew. I mean, that was a big toe. No pun intended, but
okay, if I lived with my mom and I was calling my mom, Mom, what's up with this, dish of stew in the fridge? And Mom was like, oh, honey, I didn't make that. I'd be like, okay, that's fucking weird. Who put the stew in the fridge. Yeah, that's mysterious.
Wouldn't eat it.
This isn't our crock pot.
Yeah, the mystery is at the toe. The mystery is who made the stew and put it in the fridge. I don't know. But yeah, so the books are made to be interactive. So just as an example, so on like the very first story, page 8, his door opened, shaking with fear. He listened as the footsteps slowly moved through the dark toward his bed. Then they stopped. Where is my toe? The voice groaned. And then in parentheses it says, at this point, pause, then jump at the person next to you and shout, you've got it!
Wait, this is like if you're saying it to the person?
Yeah.
No.
It like tells you like what to do. And then like at the bottom it says like, as you give the last line, pounce on one of your friends.
What the? This... asshole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so not all of them are like this, but at least in, like, the first part of the book,
that's
like...
good writing.
But it did feel kind of interactive in the film, because Augie was using his walkie-talkie, and, what's her name? Stella was, like, saying, I'm reading in the book, where is my toe? So it was kind of interactive. It was interesting how they portrayed that in the film.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even think of that. That's really cool. Yeah, so the books are just really well done, and I just, like, love these books. But... and they're meant to be, so others are meant to be creepy and others are meant to be goofy. And it's actually like outlined in the books. Like they have like little sections and they'll say in different sections, like for example, at the bottom of this one, page 73, still in the first book, it says, this chapter has the same title as the first chapter, but the stories in the first chapter are meant to scare you. The ones in this chapter are meant to make you laugh. So they're still creepy, but they're just a little bit more goofy. So they'll outline, so I don't know if they did that specifically for like, oh, if you have little children, they want to hear ghost stories, maybe read this chapter instead of these ones because they're scary. Or it's just to end it off with like a little bit more lighthearted so kids aren't as like creeped out. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there was a strategy. Maybe there wasn't.
That's why I watch Lilo and Stitch or something after I go home from these sessions.
I love Lilo and Stitch. Did you see the TV series?
No.
So, like, whatever Stitch's number is, there's, like, that many more aliens. So, like, the TV series was about all the aliens coming to Earth, and Lilo and Stitch go around and find them, and, like, they're bad, and then they tame them and find them to have jobs in, like, the normal world. So there's one that, like, freezes things, so then they made him into an ice cream making alien. So it was like that. It was on Disney. Toon Disney. Yeah.
I feel like I have seen a few of the episodes. Like, I feel like I'm like, one Saturday morning. Like, I watched that as a kid. Yeah. I know. I have to watch something, like, typically after a scary movie. Like, I mean, sometimes, like, if I can't sleep, I'll put on a scary movie. But other times, I find scary movies, like, I don't know, Megan, if you feel the same way, but I find them very soothing.
Oh, it depends on the movie or the series.
Megan yawns.
Yeah, she's like, eh. Yeah, yeah, depend, like, Channel Zero it does not soothe me. But, yeah, like, just kind of your stereotypical, like, jump scare, like, Texas Chainsaw, like, sometimes I'll put on if I can't sleep.
It's so soothing.
Yeah.
You know what? I have nothing to say. It's just, I'm judging you, and I need to bring it down a little bit. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I think, like, that is a shared experience. So, like, I think there's got to be other people out there that find it soothing to watch scary movies.
It's just, like, other people are probably into shit I'm into, which is weird stuff, but, like, I just can't get it. Like, I don't understand you guys. Especially, like, and I don't mean that in a mean way. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
But, like, especially because you guys the other night or whatever watched Sinister together. What the hell? Like, how could you sleep after?
I thought I was going to be freaked out, especially because I've been taking ZzzQuil to help me sleep. That sometimes gives me really fucked up weird nightmares. And after watching Channel Zero before bed the other night, I slept fine. Mm. I had no nightmares. I didn't have any, because sometimes I'll have trouble falling asleep, or I'll, like, wake up from a nightmare and then, like, casually hallucinate without my glasses.
What?
Casually hallucinate?
No, it's like, when you wake up from a nightmare and you can't see and it's dark and you see the things, like, initially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, I've never experienced
that.
Well, I don't wear glasses, so I don't know if it's a different...
I'm blind.
If it's, like, more visceral for you because you don't know, like, you can't see anything, so you see blobs, whereas I wake up and I just, like... can automatically see.
I also can't sleep with the TV on, though. Like, I need to be in pitch darkness to fall asleep, so maybe that's...
Even now, after watching all these scary movies?
Thanks for bringing it up. No, I didn't.
I sleep with the night light.
I'll keep like my hall light on, or I'll bring my laptop in my room sometimes. If that's only happened with the turning, though.
Okay.
The rest of the times I was okay. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, because the movie was trash.
Yeah, it wasn't even the worst one.
Yeah.
I don't know. But we're working through it.
Yeah, I think this will be...
to be, like, more desensitized as we keep watching them.
Yeah.
I think that's why we probably like them so much, because we're just very, like, we grew up on them, where you probably didn't.
Well,
I was
forced to watch them by my brothers. Oh. So it kind of has, like...
So it's traumatizing.
Yes, a trauma thing. Like, The Ring and Signs.
Oh, girl.
And...
Yeah, The Ring?
That's
freaky, yeah.
I almost said The Devil Wears Prada. No, not that one. That's not what I'm thinking.
The Meryl Streep is pretty scary in this.
It was The Grudge. That was another
The
one.
Grudge,
okay,
yeah.
Yeah, that movie still gives me nightmares.
Yeah.
Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, that one's a good one.
I watched one for the first time last year and it didn't faze me.
Was it the new one or the original one?
The original.
Okay. The original one is better than the new one.
I tried watching the new one, and I was really hungover eating, what is the ice cream in Columbus? Jenny's? I was eating, like, lavender Jenny's ice cream trying to watch the new one, and I couldn't.
Lavender-flavored ice cream?
Yeah, it tasted like Fruit Loops. It was actually really good.
I'm like, does it taste like flowers?
Can we watch Hocus Pocus?
Yes.
I love that. Gave me nightmares as a kid. Yeah. I'm like, oh my god, Mom, someone's gonna suck my soul out. She's like, that's an irrational fear, Megan. That's not normal.
That puts me in such a Halloween spirit. So absolutely we can watch Hocus Pocus.
Bring your hat over.
Oh, hat. God, yeah. And we could take pictures with him with
Big Sean.
Little hat.
The photo shoot.
I should.
He's a prop.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, so let's talk a little bit about the differences between the books and the movie. So the books, like we've said, are just smaller stories, but the movie is told as one collective story.
Versus an anthology.
Mm-hmm. And Guillermo del Toro wanted to make the movie, or wanted the movie to revolve around storytelling and how it affects us. So I thought, me being like a writer, not that I'm like an established writer, but me being like some kind of writer, I really appreciate that from him to accentuate how stories affect us, because that's literally like what I study, is how to affect people when you're writing. So I really appreciate that. And I also did a lot of deep diving. I was on the internet for hours, like, researching this stuff. And a lot of the reason I was on for hours is because I was trying to dig so deep to find things, and some stuff I couldn't find. But some stuff I just got off track and was like, this is interesting, so we're going to talk about it. So, okay, let's talk about the movie and then also the stories in the book. So the very first one we see in the movie is Harold. So Harold is the scarecrow, and Jenna, I'll show you the picture.
No, I don't need to see the picture, Bree.
You should. It looks exactly like
like an emergency, seen it, don't need to see it.
It looks
it
a little
again.
Cornier than it does in the film.
I mean, that is still so fucked.
But
though.
He has a stomach in this one, whereas the the movie
chunky.
He has, yeah, he's chunky.
I knew it. As
you soon... thought he was cute. He's like, you're like, he's not that ugly.
No, I was talking about Tommy. Wait, this whole time?
I thought
I was talking about the fucking scarecrow.
I thought you were talking about the scarecrow. I'm like,
no, Bree, I was talking about
I thought you
Tommy.
Were like, he's not that bad. I'm like.
Well, then Bree's probably so confused because I'm like, it's because Jenna likes bad boys.
Yeah, I'm like, he's decaying.
He's a type.
He's desiccated.
My God.
And Jenna's like, oh.
I was like, that's a choice.
No, I'm like, I thought you were talking about how ugly. Oh my God, what do you think I'm into?
I don't know.
No, I thought you were talking about Tommy.
It's been a long day.
No,
I'm up from 4 a.m.
No, that's so freaking funny because you see my ass under the blanket the whole time. You're like, Jenna, dude, I thought you were into this scarecrow. Why are you watching?
I thought
you were talking about how Tommy was ugly. And I was like, all right, listen, he's not that bad.
Oh, okay.
I think Tommy's ugly, so I'm still astounded that you found him attractive.
No, I didn't find him attractive. I just didn't think he was that bad.
But Harold, he's not cute.
No, Harold,
he's
not.
Objectively.
Just to clarify. Harold the Scarecrow is not cute.
Harold sucks. Harold's scary as shit, okay?
Okay, anyway. So Harold is ugly. I misunderstood that. I was like,
talk about miscommunication. Yeah,
big miscommunication on that, on my part. I was like, okay.
No, this is so fucked because Bree's gonna like try and fix me up with scarecrows.
Some guy that's like, looks like, I'm like, you liked Harold.
She just walks around with bootlegs.
She's gonna make me my own Tinder and like sweat people off.
Like, if you look like a scarecrow, oh, hit me up. Oh, what's your type? Scarecrow. Decaying.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway. Yeah. Okay. Miscommunication resolved. Okay. So in the book, just very quickly, Harold is owned by these two farmers, Thomas and Alfred.
Tommy! So they did take the name.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, Thomas and Alfred. And they knew Harold was alive. Like, they like, Harold would be walking around the barn and they're like, oh shit, Harold's up again. Like, they, like, knew he was.
Like, he was a scarecrow at that point, mm-hmm. but he would wake up in the middle of the night.
Or, yeah, or he would just walk around the barn or something. Or he'd walk around the cornfield and they're like, oh, Harold's up again. So they put him in the barn because they were scared, and then he was walking around, and they were going to leave to go do something. They're like, and the one guy had, I think it was Thomas or something, he had to go back and get this stool, because apparently stools are expensive, and he had to go back and get this stool, and the other guy was like, I'm not going back, Harold's back there, you can go back, and the guy's like, okay, I gotta go back and get my stool. So the guy didn't come back, and so the other farmer went to go searching for him, and he saw Harold on the roof laying out skin. Like the guy's skin.
No!
Yeah.
Oh,
so that's how the book is. A children's story.
That is...
yeah, pretty... That... This is, like, iconic. I think this is the one people remember the most. Or maybe it's just the one I remember the most. But this is the one that creeped me out the most. Because of just, like... Just, obviously, like, the skin drying out on the roof, and I hate dolls anyway, so I think I associated that with Harold. But anyway, so, and then in the movie, Tommy, the bully, is, like, beating up on Harold, and then he's drunk and has to take the eggs to his neighbor in the middle of the night, and then Harold comes to life and chases him.
Neglectful parenting and dead children are, like, consistent themes in all of our films.
Yeah. And, so Harold, like, takes a pitchfork and stabs him, and then Tommy... Allegedly, we're made to believe he turns into a scarecrow himself. Like, he replaces Harold.
I really liked that scene.
Yeah.
With the Letterman's jacket.
It was very effective.
The transitional scene. You see Tommy trying to screech out help to his mom. He's running and falling. He's picking the hay out of his face. It out of his throat. Picking it out of his stomach. He's slowly turning into a scarecrow. It sounds silly, but it reminds me of, is it The Ruins?
The ruins
where
with the
you get
with
infected
the,
by
the plants.
The plants, and mm-hmm. you're pulling it out. I'm not into parasites or into parasitic plants or hay, so like that was effective in making me feel incredibly uncomfortable.
Very big, like body horror mm-hmm. in that point. Yeah, when he's pulling the hair
and
out of his
throat,
and it just keeps coming. Yeah, that was a really effective scene. So I could not. I know that the stories were based off folklore. I could not find exactly what they were, but I knew I could find that it was an Austrian Swiss legend. I couldn't find anything more than that. I couldn't find
they
what it was based on.
It.
Yeah.
It fucks you up, apparently.
Yeah, I couldn't. I dove for a long time, you guys.
What
I mean,
do you mean,
hours.
They can't talk about it?
No, that was just a joke. Finding more information.
Oh.
Because of folklore. Like, I couldn't find any folklore, but what I did find is the history of scarecrows.
Oh, gosh.
So, scarecrows, they date all the way back to the Egyptians, where they would put them up to protect their wheat fields, and they were wooden, covered with nets, and then...
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. And then the Greeks used them. They were made of wood, and they were ugly to scare away from the vineyards.
Mm.
And then...
You gotta protect that wine.
I know. And then the Romans copied the Greeks, and then, in turn, introduced it to Europe. Around the same time, Japan used scarecrows to protect the rice fields, and they made them look like humans and dress them up in like rain. Oh, I can't. I know. I can't talk today, guys. I haven't even drank today. I've just been up.
Blitzed and we're more articulate. Now, yeah. You've had a long weekend.
Yeah, it's been a long weekend. But anyway, so they would dress them up in raincoats and hats. And then in Germany, they are made of wood, but they were made to look scarier, like to resemble witches. And they
worse.
Yeah. But they were also, this is funny, there were also young girls and boys who were used, like actual human children, who were used to like wave sticks in the cornfield so you could scare off the crows. And so ultimately this led to stuffing scarecrows with straw and using gourds as heads and propping them on sticks to scare away the scarecrows because it resembled these kids like waving sticks around. And then in the United States, the immigrant German farmers started making human scarecrows, and they called them either bootsmen or what?
They call them boots.
Oh, I'm sorry, you guys. No, I'm like,
the phrase is silly. Like,
bootsmen or boogeymen.
Oh, my dad used to talk about the boogeyman all the time when I was little.
Yeah.
That's probably why I'm traumatized.
Yeah. Jenna had a very traumatizing childhood.
Even my parents messed with me.
So, anyway, that's what I found about scarecrows. Couldn't find any type of creepy stuff. But that's a history of scarecrows, so you're welcome. And then moving on to the big toe is the second story that we see, which ultimately not kills Augie, but whatever, takes Augie away. So in the book, kind of the same story. There's a boy, he finds a toe in the garden. They seem to know it's a toe. Like, the mom seems to be like, give me that toe and I'll put it in the stew.
What?
Yeah.
That's intentional? That's fucked up family dynamic.
I know, it's like, yeah, that toe looks delicious. And the corpse comes and kills the boy. So, yeah, they're looking for, I read that passage where they're like,
can I see a picture of that one? Because I didn't look when the movie was on.
Yeah. Oh, this is the third one. Yeah. Yeah, it's the very first one, so
but
it's not.
Like, that type of lore is pretty common. Like, if someone takes the bones.
Oof! Is that what the thing looked like in the movie?
Let me see.
No, this is the little boy.
Oh. That's Augie.
This is the little
Wait,
boy.
That's Augie?
No, I mean.
That's like what Augie's based off.
Yeah, this is what Augie's based off, this little boy, I guess.
Well,
like, or this kid, yeah.
But, like, I feel like that type of lore is pretty common. If someone takes, like, in Sleepy Hollow, they took the skull, and then he went for the heads of everyone. It's common if you're unrestful if someone has your bones or your pieces parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in the story, they seem to know it's a stew, or it's a toe, put it in the stew, and then the old lady, the corpse, comes and looks for it and kills the boy. And
yeah,
so,
fucked up parenting, mom.
She's like, it's protein. And then in the movie, Augie is like on the phone with his mom and he's like, there's stew in the fridge. And she's like, I didn't make it. And he's like, fuck it, I guess. I'll just eat it. And there's a toe. And it's so disgusting.
He, like, slowly pulls it out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Ew.
How would you not know? Like, okay, I'm trying to, like, measure my big toe and then thinking, like,
a carrot. It would probably look like a cooked carrot.
Ew.
I don't know. But it had a toenail on it.
Ew.
Like, it
especially
was just
if they're
gross.
Like, by the way, bro, there's going to be a toe in your stew. They're telling him over the walkie-talkie. He's like, he's shoveling into his mouth. He's like, huh?
Yeah, like, literally, yeah. They're like, there's a toe in your stew. And he's like, what? Don't eat anything. And he's like, I'm eating.
I would
know.
Be like, oh my God, how do my friends know about the mysterious stew in my fridge? Mm-hmm. I would totally listen to them.
Yeah, I know. Like, if you guys call me, I'd be like, yep. Like, I'm very, like,
I
believe in
that
stuff.
I like that scene, too, though. Something that makes me.
In your stew.
Yeah.
We're all going to prank Brie by, like, sneaking toes
everywhere
in a sandwich. But when the corpse lady was, like, after him and he hid under the bed.
Yeah.
FYI, listeners never hide under the bed. They always
I know.
Find
Why
him.
Do you always
that
hide under the bed?
Works.
No.
But she drags him under the bed. He's grabbing at the wooden floor with his fingernails and it leaves scratches.
I hate that.
That is... The thought of ripping my fingernails off is also very effective for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that made me feel uncomfortable too. That scene, like him dragging his fingernails, made me more uncomfortable than the corpse herself.
Yeah, well, this is another picture. I don't know if you were covering your eyes, Jenna, but this is not the story. But this is what the story was. This is what the monster was based off. This
Totally looks like
that. Is that what it looked like?
Mm-hmm.
No! I'm glad I didn't watch.
Yeah, Jenna was under the blanket. We're like, okay, Jenna, you can look. Yeah, and we'll post all these pictures too, so you guys can see them. But yeah, so it's American folklore, and the American folklore is best known for either the skinny toe or the hairy toe. And Megan, I think you'll like this. It was inspired by a German folktale first mentioned in the Brothers Grimm.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. So like more like a fairy tale. Mm-hmm. And then Mark Twain even used this story to tell to scare his audience when he did readings. And he would be interactive too. Like he would like jump at them and scream at them. I'm like, Samuel Clemens, look at you. So the big toe is in the very first scary stories and it was in the movie. And then the next one we see is the red spot, which affects Ruthie, the sister.
This one wasn't that bad.
This one wasn't that bad, but it's
body. This would probably scare me the most if I was, like, experiencing this.
This is more rational than the other ones because it's possible, like Megan and I the other day were talking about, like, bot flies. And if you watch, that is
guys,
terrifying.
I have watched surgery videos. I know how to do.
What's a bot?
Oh.
Sutures, but I can't handle parasites.
Mm-mm.
Any type of like living organism under your skin makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Bot flies happen mostly to animals, but if you're in, is it South America?
South America, yeah.
Yeah, it can happen to people. They like lay their eggs under your skin and it's like a big fat larva that you have to pull out. It's like a maggot. They have to pull out from under your skin.
But you have to be careful because it can rip in half and then stay in you.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, if you like that stuff, watch a video. But
I
it
don't
will,
like that
I was going to say, it will disgust you. But that's what, like, the red spot kind of reminded me of because it's more, not that, like, a bunch of spiders are going to be in your face, but you hear stories about, like, spiders
laying their eggs in your ear!
Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah, and, like, bot flies. Like, you, mm-hmm. it's a big, like, rational body horror fear mm-hmm. that you have. And so this is the one that I believe stays the most true to the actual story itself. Like, this story in the book is, this picture is kind of creepy, too.
Oh, yeah, but she's not cute. I'm glad Ruthie was not cute.
Yeah. But this, the story is literally this page. Like, it's, like, a couple paragraphs. So
that's it.
Yeah. And it just says, while Ruth slept, a spider crawled across her face, and blah, blah, blah. And then, basically, like, that's all it was, is that the spiders burst. And that's basically kind of what happened in the movie as well. Like, a spider. Well, Ruth was, like, attacked by these spider webs, and so we can assume that a spider crawled across her face. She gets this huge, she thinks is a pimple that is progressively growing very quickly, and then she tries to pop it, and a bunch of spiders pop out, and then she goes insane because...
Oh, I would totally choose that one over the rest, because, like, she didn't die.
Yeah, and apparently she was better at the end, so...
Yeah.
Just got some scar.
Yeah, but I couldn't find any folklore to this one, and I did some deep...
I feel like this is just some, like, ingrained phobias.
That's what I figured. Yeah, no folklore, at least that I couldn't find, but yeah, exactly. It's just, like, this fear that we have in general. And then the next one, which is one of the other creepy ones, is The Dream, and this is with the pale lady. This was Chuck's dream, and this is the monster.
The monster. First of all, that looks identical.
Yeah, pretty identical.
But
yeah.
That monster creeped me out more than the rest of the monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, is it what, Uncanny Valley, where it's like humanoid but really uncomfortable?
Mm-hmm.
They just like looked off.
And she's like kind of smiley and like, and she's like, like she giggles.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it is very, it's creepy. And yeah, we were talking during the movie, like it reminds us of like the Japanese horror, like mm-hmm. the long stringy like black hair mm-hmm. and that's creepy. So in the story, in the book, Lucy Morgan is an artist and she has a dream about a house with a pale lady with long black hair who whispers, "This is an evil place, flee while you can." Then her dream becomes reality, but she does flee. And actually, in the book, the pale lady is there to help Lucy Morgan. Like, she's actually there to help her escape from this evil place. Whereas in the movie, Chuck. I know. Chuck is surrounded by this, apparently it's just one pale lady, but he keeps seeing them. Like, it's like over and like everywhere he turns, she's there. And then eventually gets just absorbed by her. She just hugs him and was like, just absorbs him. So she's the antagonist in the movie, where she's actually kind of, not the hero, I guess, but I guess, kind of a hero in the book because she saves her. But they said that this was the hardest monster to create because they had to make it, like, kind of translucent. And they also wanted to make the body be the outfit as well. Like, they wanted, like, if you could, like, the monster in the movie, you could see, like, kind of, not naked, but it just was skin. Mm-hmm. And then at the bottom, it was kind of a dress. But it just came, like, just kind of flowed out of her legs. So they wanted to have that effect where it looked like the dress was, like, built into her skin. And so they said this was the hardest monster to create, but it was there to create, the translucency was, like, there to create that, like, dreamlike and confusion effect. Like, is this real? Is it a dream? And the only thing I could find about this one is that it was based on a tale recounted by Augustus Hare in his autobiography, Run Away While You Still Can. And I take that, I couldn't find anything on it, but I take that as, like, recounted that allegedly he experienced this. Like, some way, shape, or form, he experienced this, and then he wrote an autobiography about it.
I hate that so much.
Yeah, so this, and the dream is in the third one, so Scary Stories 3. And then moving on to The Jangly Man, which The Jangly Man is Ramon's fear, and
I love Ramon.
Yeah, he was very sweet, but so The Jangly Man wasn't in the actual book, but there was in the very first book, there's a story called Me Tai Doti Walker, which is what the Jangly Man says. So here's the picture. It's not that bad. It's just like a head. Oh, you looked away. You're like, mm-mm. It's not that bad. But so in the movie, Ramon kind of prefaces this to being like, my brother was in Vietnam, he died, he came home in pieces. And so the Jangly Man was, like, his fear was based off of this Jangly Man coming down the chimney in pieces, and it actually specifically came down in 8 pieces, where they said, like, apparently his brother came home in 8 pieces. That's so it was so there sad. It was there to reflect that trauma.
Sarah's a dick, the ghost.
Yeah. No, she's like, and so this was kind of, I guess, like, this one was more of, like, an amalgamation of Gamble's illustrations itself, because the story was semi-based off this. Like, this one is actually really weird.
Doesn't the dog talk?
Yeah, yeah. The
dog?
Guy,
mm-hmm. Like, his story?
Yeah.
Oh.
So there's this, like, there was this haunted house, and this older guy paid this young kid to stay in it, and so the kid was like, hell yeah, I'm gonna go stay in it, took his dog. And there was a legend that, a dismembered head would fall down the chimney because it was haunted. And the guy was like, whatever. The kid was like, whatever, I'm going to stay in this house. And then he heard something singing, Me Tai Doti Walker. And then the dog answered, Lynchy, Kinchy, Collie, Molly, Dingo, Dingo. And, yeah. And they just keep, and then it was like, the boy could not believe his ears. His dog had never uttered a word before. And so they just go back and forth. Like, the guy says something and the dog says something. So I don't know, like, I couldn't find anything.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I tried to look it up. I couldn't find anything. I saw a few theories, but nothing that actually came out of anything productive. So I don't really know what that means. I'm sure there's got to be something behind it, unless it was just, like, gibberish. But so in the movie, they're in the police station, they're locked up, the police officer is like, you kids are hooligans, and the Jangly Man comes down the chimney in pieces, his head comes first, and he immediately says, Me Tai Doti Walker, and then the rest of his body comes down. And what's really interesting about this is they actually used a real contortionist. Yeah,
really?
Named Troy James.
He played a Demogorgon and Slender Man. So that's his, like, he's typecast as creepy monster.
Yeah, I guess if I could do that, I would be typecast as a creepy monster too. Because it's like, you might as well, you have this ability and this talent, like, you might as well do it. But so when he was like that part, I don't know if you were watching it, but that part when he was walking up the prison bars, that was him using his own body strength to walk
and
up
we
those
hate
bars.
That breed, don't
yeah.
We?
Well, he like there was a part where like he literally like I want to watch a video, but he literally was like, I don't know if he was like crab walking or if he was like in tabletop, but he literally twisted his head under his arm and like twisted his whole torso, so he was like upside down, like looking up, and that was actually him doing that.
Yeah,
so
that's so.
tell. Mm-hmm. It's just annoying that, like, they had a contortionist doing it, but then they over-edited it. Like,
yeah.
That was my biggest gripe, was the over-editing of... Because, like, contortionists are fucking creepy as it is. You don't need to, like, slap on any CGI on top of that.
I mean, it would be hard because, like, his body comes apart, but it would be interesting to just do, like, when his body comes apart and then put it back together, or if you did almost, like, I mean, I'm not a film director, but if you did almost, like an implied, like, you kind of heard the crunching of it coming, or you saw the different body parts. Yeah, like a shadow, or like a very, like, kind of blurry something, I don't know. Yeah, like a shadow would be cool, and then the actual contortionist, like, doing his thing, because that would be...
Or was the focus on the foreground, and then the background was out of focus.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that would be, like Channel Zero, when the...
Yeah.
It was so scary.
You don't even know,
no,
Jenna.
But you just started moving like it. Yeah.
Oh my god,
that.
Dude.
That
really was so
weird.
Scary. Really?
The personification of her schizophrenia.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that part.
She had a giant head. It was just like,
yeah. Why? I'm like, it was creepy at first, then it just got like weird. But still, god, top five scariest thing I've ever watched in my life.
Just the first couple episodes.
Yeah, I'll have to watch the rest of it. Anyway, so, and then, moving on from the Jingly Man, the Haunted House is the last one, which this is, the movie is loosely based off the story, The Haunted House, but it's not about the story. It's more of just, like, the premise of, like, there's this haunted house, it exists. Because in the story, there's, I think there's a preacher that goes to this haunted house, and he sees this ghost, and this ghost says, I was murdered, find my bones, take my bones to your church, and you'll find out who killed me, and then I'll give you, I think, like, money for your church.
Yeah,
and
hit me up, ghost. I'll
yeah,
that.
I know. And so he did. He found her bones, he took her to the church, and then it ended up being her husband, I think, that, I don't know if it was her husband, but anyway, it was a man that they found out killed the woman, and then she gave him the money for his church. So obviously that didn't happen in the movie itself, but just the premise of there's a haunted house is what the movie was based off of. And it seems to be Sarah Bellows in the movie, since she's not in the book. I guess that would be... maybe what the ghost was
right.
in the book, you know what I mean? Like, it was Sarah Bellows coming out to Stella saying, like, I was tortured. So maybe that's what it was more based off of. I'm not exactly sure. And then the drawing itself that we looked at earlier, like the corpse kind of looks like Sarah Bellows too, little bit, like less decayed, but,
I liked the backstory to it.
Mm-hmm.
Did we go over that? The backstory?
We kind of, like, randomly, like,
so this family, the Bellows family, was, like, a prominent family in town. They owned a water mill, and the family was poisoning children in the water mill. They were poisoning the water. So, she wanted to come out and say, like, hey, my family's poisoning the water, and they had her institutionalized. Her brother was a doctor. She was also albino. I don't know how that was, just made her creepy. So then her family was poisoning children and killing them, and then she was scapegoated. She came out and wanted to say something, so they scapegoated her, gave her electroshock therapy, and then locked her in, like, a dungeon behind a bookshelf. But I really like the storytelling where this ghost is scary, it's creepy, you think it's the antagonist, but they're a victim themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The Ring, well, she was a victim where she was murdered, but she was also creepy.
She was creepy when she was alive,
Shudder,
yeah.
Shudder. The ghost was a victim of, like, drug and rape, and then haunted the guy. It's interesting. It turns the story around and gives you a sense of empathy towards the antagonist of the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's still a dick and killed some kids, but it's because her family tortured and murdered her.
She's hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. She was
hurt. People hurt people.
She was broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So let's move into what scared us. So Jenna, what scared you the most?
Of what you saw. Because...
What? Okay. Yeah. And let's talk about actually first which monster scared you the most. Either whether it's like the story of the monster, what it looked like itself.
I said, man, we don't got all day. That's what to talk about. Okay, so from what I saw, if I'm thinking back towards the movie, things that I actually saw were Harold, Spider, Jangly Man, and Sarah. Bellows.
Cerebellum, isn't that Mrs. Bellum from Powerpuff Girls?
Hell no.
I did not see the one for the hospital.
The dream, the pale lady?
Yeah, okay. And then there's another one in there.
The corpse, the big toe? Did you see her?
No, I didn't see her.
Okay.
So, because I think that those two would have scared me the most. Yeah. So, out of the ones that I saw, the one that was the scariest was Sarah and Harold. Mm-hmm. Didn't like either of those. As far as the movie goes, what scared me the most was just, first of all, I was overstimulated. There was too many fucking monsters in this movie for my liking. Because it's like, okay, well, once you see one, you can kind of get used to it. But no, motherfuckers, you had five coming at me this entire... Also, over an hour and a half. Over an hour and 20 minutes. Okay? Yeah. It was long. There was a lot to take in. So, shit was coming out from every angle. And
a lot of jump scares.
Yeah, that
but
too.
But effective jump scares.
No. Speaking of that, what scared me the most was, even though I was under the blanket, especially during the big toe, silence. There was silence.
For a long time, like a minute,
there
probably.
There was a lot, and that wasn't the only story that happened. There was a lot of silence and no music, like no scary music, so I didn't know what was coming. So I'm just under the blanket, like waiting for something.
A lot of suspension build. And I will tell you, like, obviously I'm not in the film industry, but I've studied
like,
a little bit of it.
We got to do this.
No, but, like, if you, I would say maybe, like, a minute to 90 seconds, it was silence.
Mm-hmm.
That it was literally no, I mean, he was, like, moving around a little bit, but it was literally
nothing.
Just silent.
Yeah.
And for a movie that's less than 2 hours, a minute of silence, that's a long time.
Yeah.
To be silent, you know what I mean? So, but it's so effective because it's building that suspense up and you're kind of thinking like, is
he
safe?
Suspended.
Yeah.
She was suspent.
Yeah, suspense. That's funny.
Megan, what scared you the most?
Okay, props to Guillermo del Toro. I think I mentioned this before. He's one of my favorite directors, producers. His monster creations are artistically beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
He did Pan's Labyrinth with the...
Oh, I love that movie.
You like Pan's Labyrinth?
Yeah, I can actually see that because it's Spanish.
Oh, yeah, and you speak Spanish. So
I like it.
Was
I've
it the Pale
times.
Man? The Pale Man? The Baby Eater. The Kid Eater who has the eyeballs on his hands.
Oh, yeah. That
which
freak
that
you
guy,
out.
The actor who played him is typecast as monsters as well.
Yeah.
I think he was Mama in Mama.
Oh, God, that movie was awful, but...
I thought it was terrifying. Did you see The Orphan? Not The Orphanage, which is the crazy Russian child-looking girl that murdered.
Yeah.
The Orphanage was also by Guillermo del Toro. It's in Spanish, if you guys don't mind subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
Horrifying, which reminded me of Sam from... Mm-hmm.
Trick or Treat.
Trick or Treat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Guillermo del Toro...
Fuck Sam.
Guillermo del Toro is amazing. His monster creations are beautiful. They're truly stunning. Another example of the antagonist being good was Crimson Peak. There's all these creepy red, mucky mud monsters, but you find out that they're murdered women.
Mm-hmm.
So I like him. I like how he made these monsters, but I think the dream stories, the pale lady, scared me the most. There's a siren going off. The lighting is red. He looks every direction. It's an endless, endless hallways with these creepy women coming at him. It felt very purgatory-like. It's alter-dimensional. Like, it's not tangible, like what we have here. It's evil. It's scary. There's no way to escape.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that probably scared me the most. The idea of the jangly man scared me the most, but the, what's the word I'm looking for? Execution just wasn't there for me. I don't like spider-crawling body horror like that. Contortionists freak me out.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the CGI was jarring for me, and so I couldn't really get into it. But the idea of that probably would scare me more if it was executed better.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with the pale lady. That freaked me out the most just because, like I said, like I have a hard time dealing with like the long black stringy hair and just like the paleness.
She looked like
and
if Samara from The Ring or the girl
gained,
from
like,
The Grudge gained like
pounds.
150 pounds, which was thick.
Yeah, she looked thick. But also, like, her mouth stretched all the way across her face, and she was kind of smiling. And when you first see her, she goes, like, Like, she giggles, and you're like, that's unsettling, mm-hmm. because you're creepy. Like, why are you giggling?
Why but, are you giggling?
Yeah, yeah. But no, I agree, Megan. Like, it's like this impending doom, like, wherever, there's no escape. Mm-hmm. Like, at least with, like, and we've talked about this plenty of times before, like, in earlier episodes, but you think about, like, Jaws, or you think about, like, a murderer where you can, like, it would be difficult, but you can escape.
Right.
Whereas the pale lady, everywhere you turn, you can't escape. And there's no, not evidence. What's the word? There's no strategy that you can take. Like a murderer, oh, maybe kick him in the balls. A shark, maybe punch him in the eyes, tickle his snout. Like, there's no strategy you can take with this pale lady because we don't know the world she's from.
Right.
Like, we're not part of that supernatural world that we know how to defeat this monster.
Well, that goes back to what Jenna was saying. You can't be at ease because there's so many different monsters with different mm-hmm. MOs. There's not just one creepy ghost throughout the whole movie that they're trying to discover why it's being creepy, or a demon, like Sinister, whatever, the demon that eats children or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's multiple monsters with multiple different MOs, and you can't figure it out. They mm-hmm. can't, you know, they can't get complacent, they mm-hmm. can't get comfortable, you know, like, it's just new.
Yeah, yeah. And what I think is the most effective about this movie is that it's based off of not necessarily, I mean, maybe what we're afraid of, like, as the audience, but more what the characters are afraid of. Like, their biggest fears come to realization, and I think that's, like, their own personal version of hell.
Right.
Like, you have this, I mean, the one girl, the red spot, Ruthie, her biggest fear was spiders, and mm-hmm. so how would you ruin her for life? You would make spiders crawl out of her face and attack her.
Well, she also seemed like beauty was of importance to her.
Yeah.
She was in theater. She spent time with makeup and hair, so like she's a little vain, so it was altering her appearance. She was getting scarred and deformed, so that could also add to the horror for her.
Mm-hmm.
She's not as beautiful.
Yeah. No, that's an interesting point, too. I didn't
so
think about that.
So pimple itself, before there were spiders, she was irritated and afraid that she had this giant blemish on her face.
Yeah. Especially, like, in a pivotal time when she's in, I don't know if she's, like, in high school, or I'm assuming she's in high school, or, like, at least late middle school, but where your popularity is based upon how pretty mm-hmm. you are, how mm-hmm. attractive you are. So I want to talk about some of our fears. Like, if we were in the movie, if Sarah Bell is writing a story about us, what would it be?
Want to play
Jenna's
this game?
Werewolves.
Yeah, werewolves. Yeah. Like, it was a full moon.
No, I don't want to talk about that because Halloween, I heard that there's like a blue moon.
Mm.
Did you hear that?
Spooky shit.
Yeah, I'm not staying alone. I'm coming over.
Saturday night, man. Halloween.
Okay. I don't want to play this game, but if I had to, it would be, I'd just take the spiders, because I'd live.
Take the spiders,
you're
like,
but what would be, if, like, your worst fear come to life?
I don't want to say it.
She doesn't want to speak into it.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm a huge manifester, all right? I'm the manifesting queen.
There is a theory that, there's a whole Netflix documentary on it, but there's a theory that you can actually speak things into existence. Like, if you're thinking about a song, and then it comes up next on your shuffle, there's a theory. It comes from, obviously,
yeah.
this more supernatural place,
it's like
where you can
law of attraction and shit.
Yeah. You can actually think things into existence. So, I guess mine, I mean, besides, like, the typical, like, fear of rejection, I really don't like bugs. I don't like things crawling. I don't like the house centipedes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, maybe house centipedes come out of my face. Also, yeah, really scared of, like the Grudge and the Ring stuff. So I think if something was based upon those, it would be more like the Pale Lady.
Or, like, creepy crawly kind of people.
Yeah, like crawling. Yeah, yeah, crawling towards me. Yeah. Or spider, like a spider person. Oh, person with eight legs crawling, that would be my worst nightmare. What about you, Megan?
Well, going based off of what Jenna said about, like, speaking things into existence, I think there's a scary movie or an episode of Supernatural about this creature that was, like, the more people that believe in it, the more power it has.
It's like Tinkerbell?
Yeah, pretty much. No, what would scare me the most? Asian horror,
mm-hmm.
just, like, the body horror, something super pale, super unhinged jaw, spider crawling at me would scare
yeah.
me more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so lastly, let's talk about what would your strategy be
if we are taking out of the equation that we just don't go to the house and get the book, because that would prevent the whole movie from happening, I would take the toe monster and just give her toe back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's
where
true.
Where is my toe? Here you go.
It's right here.
Or just, like, throw it from under the bed.
The yeah. pale lady just wanted a hug. She came at him and absorbed him. Maybe if he just would have said, I accept you. Maybe you just need some love and hugged her.
Megan, man, you're so good at this game.
She just wanted a hug. What's left? Jangly man. I don't know. I don't fuck with that. He's in multiple pieces.
Yeah. Crazy I don't think you can do anything with him. Yeah. Like, he doesn't speak your language. Like, I mean, I don't know. Okay, that's interesting. So, if I had to pick a monster to fight...
The spiders, you just survive. Just, you'll have a scar on your face.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with being scarred. I would be terrified of the spiders, though. I don't know, like... And it was biting her, too. So, I think what monsters were there? There was the big toe.
It was Harold.
With Harold, I wonder if when you got out of the cornfield, if he could still affect you out of the cornfield, or if he was only powerful in the cornfield. So I think I would probably just, like, go on the roof and just, like, or burn him. So if I had to, like, fight somebody, I would pick Harold and just, like, burn him, because he's literally made of, like, burning material. So I would just
but
be like,
what if, like, he's only mean because, like, Tommy was an asshole? Gas him up, be like... Harold, you are the best scarecrow I've ever met, man. I'm not going to hit you with a baseball bat. You're a great dude. You do a really good job. Like, maybe he's just, like, killing Tommy because Tommy fucking deserved it. He was a dick.
Yeah, Tommy didn't deserve it.
He hit him with a baseball bat and, like, would throw slurs at him all the time and just yell at him. Like, who does it to a scarecrow?
Yeah.
He's just an asshole.
Yeah. What about you? What monster would you pick? Who would you fight?
I think I would... Well, I can't see what Megan said, but I really did like what Megan said, because that would totally be my strategy. But without hearing that, picking my own, it would probably have to be, I don't know, I guess just being nice to Sarah.
Stella
did.
Sarah, I hear you, girl. Yeah. Your family was wrong to you. Let's not kill my friends, first of all. That's not, I'll publish your stories, girl. Like, let's get your story out there. You didn't poison any children.
Yeah.
That could have all been prevented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man, fuck this movie.
Yeah. I really enjoy this movie. I think I enjoy the stories, too, but I don't know. I love this movie. And it's just such a good, like, just like a good Halloween movie. Okay, so in closing, I like this movie. I think Megan likes this movie. Jenna didn't. You don't like it. Oh, the CGI you said got in the way.
Yeah,
it was distracting.
There's a couple things. Like, I think the monsters of this movie were beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like, the concept is good, but some of the execution just wasn't there. And it sucks because I love Guillermo del Toro, so, like, I want to be like, this was the best movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But, like, okay, so it takes place in a different time period. It takes place in the 60s. So we're looking at other movies that take place in different time periods that are horror movies or horror shows. Stranger Things takes place in the 80s. Mm-hmm. It takes place in...
I think the 80s,
yeah. But I feel like the world building wasn't there as much.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't feel as grounded as it felt. It felt like you knew these characters, you knew their backstory, mm-hmm. like, it felt real. This felt kind of like Goosebumps for me, a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was also PG-13. They mm-hmm. had their limitations. So, for what it was, I enjoyed it, but mm-hmm. I think they could have taken it... They could have elevated it more, for sure.
Yeah. I think if they were going to, they couldn't reach a younger audience. Like, I don't think parents would let their children go see it. I don't know, maybe not. Like, I think their standards are lowering for parents. I mean, you see those 13-year-olds on TikTok, and you're like, well, I don't have TikTok. But I mean, on Instagram, and you're like...
Where are your parents at?
Yeah, my mom parenting. Would smack me up to the head if I walked into the house with a crop top on. Like,
also, why do you look like... that
25 years
these
old.
These kids
yeah.
have an ugly face. They're just beautiful no. forever.
Yeah, I'm like, where was your awkward phase? Yeah. Because mine lasted for 12 years.
And it also builds so much character. Hell, I just got out of mine. Like, mm-hmm. Trust me, you need it.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, so in closing, like I said in the beginning, make sure you guys check out our Patreon. Become a patron. It's going to be awesome. You get awesome stuff. Just patreon.com/screamsandqueens. We do have a website. It's screamsandqueens.wixsite.com/screamsandqueens. So really long, really long URL. So it's on our social media pages. Speaking of that, social media pages, check us out on Instagram at screamsandqueenspod. On Twitter at screamspodcast. Every episode is released on Friday. Next week is Halloween, so we're so excited. And in honor, yeah, well, Jenna's not, but in honor of Halloween, we are watching Halloween, the John Carpenter version, and comparing it to the classic one from 1978. So very excited about that one. But thank you all for listening. Thank you for tuning in. And we are Screams and Queens. We'll see you next week.
Thank you. Bye.